Indianapolis is one of 107 Indiana communities under federal consent decrees to get rid of its combined sewer overflow systems in favor of cleaner and safer methods. It's a problem of massive proportions that longtime Indianapolis environmental advocate R.M. Van Frank says has been buried underground for decades.
This is a classic case of out of sight, out of mind. Most people, well, when you flush the toilet, it's gone. It goes somewhere, and you know they don't realize that all of that water has to in some way be transported to the sewage treatment plant.
Van Frank says not only is the problem hidden, but it's expensive, with options for paying to fix it shrinking while costs go up. He says worries about the safety of Indianapolis's water and sewer system trace back to an EPA study done in the 1980s, when then-Mayor Hudnut said the $200 to $300 million price tag to fix the CSO problem at that time was too expensive. In the meantime, Van Frank says, the problems became more and more obvious.
During all that time, you know, there were combined sewage being dumped into Fall Creek and the White River. And in July and August, if you drove up Fall Creek Parkway around 30th Street, the smell was so bad it would make your eyes water.
It took a civil lawsuit filed by people living along Fall Creek to put Indianapolis on the EPA's radar and force the issue. But like so many other cities nationwide, says Steve Nielsen, Indianapolis Public Works Deputy Director, the high price tag and unavoidable tax increases made political will a major hurdle passed down from administration to administration.
Every generation of mayors since the inception of the Clean Water Act knew that there are going to be more and more regulations coming out, and it just so happens that the Peterson administration and now the Ballard administration is really faced with what the combined sewer overflow problem and eliminating that problem with respect to a pollution source.
Now the discussion is not what to do, but how to pay for it. Since the problem first appeared, federal grants are now loans. Senator Beverly Gard of Greenfield, chair of the Senate Environmental Committee, says state money has dried up too.
There was a time when we weren't in a fiscal crunch that we actually appropriated additional state dollars to help keep the water and sewer rates low when people had to do upgrades of their system. With the budget situation the last few years, we have not been able to do that.
Nielsen says while money from the federal stimulus plan could find its way to Indianapolis water and sewer projects, no one knows yet how much money the city could get or when. He says that leaves one main option, rate increases.
The majority of the people would just as soon not have a rate increase, but at the same time they recognize the need for it and that it's going to actually solve some problems that we've been faced for a long time now out there.
But at the end of the chain, it's the Veolia water bills that will contain the rate hikes for the sewer work, since the Veolia bills include three things: the water base charge, volume charge, and sewer charge. And so, Veolia spokesperson Lou Ann Baker says her company is bracing for call volume to swell come the first sewer fee hike. Even if the public outcry over rate increases is kept to a minimum, the question remains whether people will understand that those increases won't cover the cost of all Indy's water and sewer troubles. Downtown, there are still century-old brick sewer pipes that some worry are leaking. Nielsen adds to that the many septic tanks that still remain in the city, but he asserts it's an issue of economics, not politics, to fix them.
As far as I know, Mayor Ballard wants to address this problem. He wants, you know, he's already told me he wants 7,000 homes off of septic tanks in this next, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 year period. Okay, so if we get the user fee increase, we get all these other projects going, we'll accomplish that. So I believe the political will is there. It's just that, you know, we're in an economic downturn right now that you never don't want to increase fees too much.
As all this is underway and people struggle to figure out how to pay for what's needed, there are many people in Indianapolis looking toward additional solutions that could save money and the environment over the long term. In our final segment of Water Pressure, we'll take a look at some of the sustainable community efforts underway to make Indianapolis's water clean and safe.
You know, if you think about it, when we water our lawns, we're watering our lawns with clean drinking water that's even fluorinated. That's kind of a weird thing to do, so using other water sources would actually go a long way to helping us.
For WFYI, I'm Marianne Holland.